Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you into the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. It is one of those nights. It's an exciting night, and I'm excited about what says the Lord. What does he have planned for us? If you are having difficulties hearing me on this evening at any given time, please dial 1 on your dial pad that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, or to let us know that you may be having some difficulties. So please feel free to let us know by dialing 1 on your dial pad, and our team will then check with you to see what, if anything, we could do to make the sound better. Hopefully we're not having any technical difficulties. Amen. So again, I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. I am excited about tonight's show. Actually, I had studied and I had a show all prepared for waving flags and warning signs. And that was what I was going to bring to you tonight. I thought that was what the Lord had for me to give to you tonight. And as I got closer to the end of today, something just wasn't sitting well in my spirit with what I was going to share. And ironically, I looked over at my son and I said, what are you feeling in your spirit? What is it that you're picking up in your spirit that I should potentially be bringing to the people on tonight? And he said, have you ever done a show about staying focused? And I said, done some similar shows to not get, to stay on course, stay on the path of your purpose. And I said, but I don't think I've ever done a show on staying focused. And so I thought, So, of course, I did what any responsible woman of God would do, and I went into prayer. And I went into prayer, and I began to ask the Lord, what would he have me to share on tonight? Does he want me to share on distractions? And I thought, oh, my gosh, I have a few hours before my show. This is not what I prepped for. This is not what I planned for, Lord. You are surely going to have to bring this to pass. And I tell you, God is so faithful. He is faithful. If we'll just be obedient, and that if we will surrender to what has already been completed. I've been preaching, teaching, speaking about the order steps, and when we walk in those steps, how everything just begins to fall into place. Tonight is the same thing. Had I been stuck on, no, I studied for X, Y, Z, and that's what I'm going to teach you on, I may have missed God on tonight. I may have not been able to bring forth what I'm going to bring forth on tonight, which I believe will bless all of you who are listening in on tonight. So we changed the course, and tonight's show is about distractions. It is about distractions. Again, if you do have any issue hearing me on tonight, do not hesitate to let us know. And matter of fact, I'm hearing issues, so let me put a switch here. Hopefully this sounds better. I'm hoping this sounds better. If this does not, please, again, and I'm sorry that we're having some technical difficulties, but believe me, next week we will not be dealing with this. I like to acknowledge when there's flaws, not to give the flaws any glory, but I just want you all to know that it is my goal and intentions to operate in a spirit of excellence, and when things don't seem excellent to me, I don't believe, I don't want to not represent the kingdom in excellence. Amen. So, again, I was sharing with you that tonight's show is about distractions, and we want to find out what are the Delilahs in your life. So tonight's show is titled, Ditching the Delilahs That So Easily Distract and Defeat Us. Ditching the Delilahs That So Easily Distract and Defeat Us. So I'm going to go into a story that most of us all know, and the reason I'm going to go to this story and I'm going to read it, so you all know me, I'm going to lay the foundation. My prayer is that you don't grow weary, that you don't get bored, that you don't fall off while I'm laying the foundation, because if you stay focused during the laying of the foundation, then you will begin to see the building of that same foundation. Amen. So just stay focused. I know it's going to seem a little long because I'm going to read you a story, and it should not take more than about a couple of minutes for me to read the story, but I want to lay the foundation so that you could truly get what God has for you tonight. Somebody needs to hear this word. I didn't realize that this word was for me. And because it was for me, nothing that God gives me will I deny or not share. So when he gives me a word, I turn around and I give my audience a word. I give you the same word that he gave to me, because he's no respecter of person. Just like he could correct me, that he could prune me, that he could encourage me, that he empowers me, guess what? His word, that same word, could do the same for you. And so I'm going to share with you what he shared with me, and it blessed me on tonight, and I pray that it blesses you as well. We're going to go to Judges, the 16th chapter, and I'm going to share a very familiar story with you about Samson, and many of us know what happened with Samson and what Samson was about, but there's many of us that don't know, and there's some of us that haven't read that story probably since we were a child. So I'm going to read this story, and then I'm going to get into what God has for you on tonight. So again, I hope you stay focused so that you could really benefit from what this message is on tonight. It is definitely a rhema word, amen. So Judges, the 16th chapter. One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. Now I want you to really listen. There's some key words in here, and many of us have been here. Maybe not the same story, but we have experienced this story in our lives. Some of us are experiencing this story right now. Many of us are being distracted from what God has called us to do, and tonight this word is for you. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here, so they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him. All night at the city gate, they made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we'll kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them up the top of the hill that faced it, Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sarek whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secrets of his great strength and how can we overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength. And how can you be tied up and subdued? Now right there, I'm gonna stop right there for a minute. She's asking him to tell her the secrets of his great strength. And then she further goes on to say, and how can you be tied up and subdued? Now, listen to that, because she wasn't subtle. She wasn't subtle with what she was attempting to do. And yet, Samson was distracted. Samson answered her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with it. And then I'm going to skip down, because she attempted that. He told her that. He deceived her with telling her that if she did the bowstrings, it would help. If she did new rope, it would help. And we know the story goes on and on and on and on. Samson got frustrated. She was getting on his nerves. She was working his nerves. And we know situations and circumstances will work our nerves. And once our nerves have been worked down, we normally explode, or we normally give up. And Samson got frustrated. So Samson began to share the truth of his strength, because she told him, how can you say you love me when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made me look like a fool and haven't told me the secrets of your great strength. With such nagging, she probed him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything, No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazarite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head was shaved and my strength would leave me, and I would become weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines. Come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hand. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off his 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. And his strength left. Then she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistine seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, oh, God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. I pray that there will be a blessing to the hearer and the doer of the word. So we've laid the foundation. We're telling the story of Samson. I believe that Samson is one of the greatest stories of distraction in the Bible, and there are many. But Samson really stuck out to us. It stuck out to us because he had a purpose. God had created him for a purpose, and he had favor with God. He had strength. God had given him a gift. He had anointed him, so to say, and he had a purpose. But he allowed the cares of the outside world to come in and distract him. How many of us have started on purpose, started with a dream, a vision, or an idea that God had given us, and we begin to let outside influences distract us from doing what God called us to do? What are the Delilahs in your life is what tonight's show is about. And we've already laid the foundation. We heard about Samson, a great example of distraction, deception, and we all have been there to some degree or another. We all have been in relationships that maybe weren't God-appointed relationships, whether it was a romantic relationship or whether it was a business relationship that we have been involved in, and we started seeing that it was pulling us further and further away from where we were supposed to be. Oftentimes, we'll stay engaged in those distractions because we don't know how to disconnect from the distractions, especially when it has to do with matters of the heart or when it has to do with money. We will find ourselves staying involved in situations that are not God. We will stay in relationships with people, whether it's romantic or friendship, like I said, a business partnership. We will stay in those relationships. We know that God did not appoint those relationships. And so we get distracted, and then what we do is find ourselves off course. We're not accomplishing the things that we know we're supposed to be accomplishing. Oftentimes, we'll find that God has left, or it feels like God has left us. In the story we found with Samson, when he woke up, after he kept playing the game, when he finally woke up this time, God had left him. But look at all the other times that he played the game, that he continued to play the game. And oftentimes, we play games with God like that. God has given us an assignment, and sometimes we'll find ourselves saying, Lord, I'll get to it. Or we'll put it on the back burner. We'll lose focus. We won't do what we're supposed to do. We don't get up in the morning. You know, God has probably called you to getting up in the mornings and having a prayer life, to give 10 minutes out of your day to him, and you'll find yourself rolling over and hitting the snooze button. God may have called you to start exercising or to eat properly, and you'll find yourself snacking at 11 o'clock at night. You'll find yourself having no energy to get up and exercise. Maybe God called you to start a business, and you're supposed to be doing the research and getting information and finding resources and tools to help you begin to start that business. But then you find yourself caught up in a TV show or getting caught up on the telephone with useless conversations that does not aid or support the vision that God has given you. How many of us will be honest with ourselves about being distracted? How many of us will begin to take a serious look and do a self-evaluation and begin to identify the Delilahs in our life? As I say the word Delilah, this is a metaphor, and I want to say a metaphor because I have a cousin whom I love dearly who is a wonderful woman of God, and her name is Delilah. So I want her to know that tonight this is a metaphor. The Delilahs represent deception and distraction in our lives. The Delilah represents that thing that is keeping us from being what God called us to be. That Delilah is that thing that will cause us to move away from God instead of move towards God. So in this case, Delilah is not a good thing. That spirit is a distraction, amen, and that spirit can kill you. It can kill you if you don't catch on, identify it, and take and be disciplined over it. Because as we see in the story of Samson, Samson was distracted by Delilah. He was deceived by Delilah. And at the end result of Samson's life is that Samson actually died. He began to get his strength back, and God forgave him. And he was able to do one last thing in accordance with the purpose that God had created him for. And towards the end, even though he had lost his strength and his strength began to come back, by this time they gouged his eyes out, if you remember, so he was blind. But he was able, with that last bit of strength, by God's grace, he was able to knock down the temple. He killed himself in the process, but he also killed thousands of Philistines, and that did release his people to begin to be able to move away from and not continue to be overruled by the Philistines. So he was still able to complete his, he was still able to complete his assignment. That tells me, do you want to have to die in the completion of your assignment? Do we want to have to die because of disobedience, because of distractions? You see all these D's, that the distractions and the disobedience. Would you want to have to die to complete your assignment? I don't know about you, but I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to live and not die. I want to be able to see my assignment manifest, and I want to be able to enjoy seeing the manifestation of my assignment and the purpose that my assignment is for, the kingdom purpose. I want to be able to see all that God has purpose for that assignment to do. Amen? And I don't want to die because I was disobedient. I don't want to die because God forgave Samson. I'm sorry. He forgave Samson, just like he'll forgive you. But the question is, do you want to die in order for your assignment to be completed? Amen? We don't, because God said that he's given us life and life more abundantly. And when we're not living the life that he's given us, then we're really not living life. And it comes with the distraction. And distractions then result in other things. In this case, Samson's distraction from Delilah resulted in him losing his power, which was a gift. It resulted in him losing his life. And that's what distractions come to do, because the distractions are not of God. Amen? The distractions are not of God, because God, he's not going to send anything that's going to keep you from fulfilling the purpose that he created you for. And he tells us in his word that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill the vision, steal the vision, and destroy it. Destroy, steal, and kill the vision. So we have to stay focused, and we have to remember that we are on kingdom assignment, and that we have a purpose, and that God has steps that he has ordered for us. And it's important, no matter how hard, no matter how frustrating, no matter how irritated we could get at times trying to walk in this, sometimes it gets difficult. But we have to remember that we have to stay on course. We have to remember that we have to walk in the steps that have been laid down before. Am I saying this because I walk in those steps all the time? Absolutely not. I'm saying it because I miss the mark. I miss the mark. Sometimes I overstep. Sometimes I lose focus and I can't see in front of me. Some days are cloudy with limited visibility as it pertains to the path that God has provided for me. And we will fall sometimes. We will fall off track. But tonight, I want to encourage you that God forgives you, that you can get back on track, that you can get back realigned with the purpose that he has for you. You can fulfill that assignment. And it's called repent. It's called repent. Now, I don't know. I read the story of Samson. Samson was before Jesus Christ. So we didn't hear nothing about him repenting. It was probably just merely by the grace of God that God forgave him. But we are AC. We're after Christ. So we have some more. We have more resources. The resource is Jesus. We have the ability to repent. We have the ability to turn away and get back on track when we fall off track. We have that resource to be able to do that. That's what Jesus came for. And God knew. He knew that it was going to get weird. We were going to get weary and well-doing. But he encouraged us not to get, but he know we will. If he didn't think we would get weary and well-doing, he wouldn't try to encourage us not to get weary. Amen? So he know we would get weary. He know that it's not easy. He know that there are fiery arrows that's coming up against us daily. He know that weapons are being formed. But he goes on to encourage us and let us know that no weapon formed. Yes, they will form. Yes, they will come after you, but they won't prosper. It won't keep you from completing your assignment if you stay aligned. And when you get off balance, just get back in balance, get back aligned, and continue on the course that he has already, it's already completed, that he's designed for us. Amen? And so we just want you to know tonight. He wants you to know tonight. He wants you to be encouraged. He don't want you to be depressed. He don't want you to be bitter. He doesn't want you to be angry. He don't want you to miss opportunities, a blessing. He don't want you to be fruitless. Amen? He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed going in and coming out. He wants us to be the borrowers and not the lenders. These are not cute cliches. And unfortunately, we've heard these scriptures quoted so much through people that are not living them out. You know, praise God, and greater is Jesus in me than the evil in the world. And we heard these from people that we see are not living them. So what they've become is cute cliches. And we forgot the power that's in the Word of God. The Word of God is productive in its life, and it does what it's sent out to do. He says, it will not return unto me void. He's not a man that he should lie, so he speaks his word, and his word is power. But his word is power for those who is operating according to his spirit. His spirit on the inside of you has to be activated. It has to be strengthened. And how is it strengthened? Through his word. And so when we operate in his word and we realize the power that's in his word, he said that greater things shall we do than he did. Samson didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. He didn't have that helper on the inside of him. But we do, and so we don't have to be defeated. We don't even have to be distracted to fall off course is one thing, but to stay off course is another. How many warnings? Samson had warnings, but maybe he didn't recognize what the warnings was because he didn't have the help of the Holy Spirit. You have the help of the Holy Spirit. I have the help of the Holy Spirit. Are we going to listen to the warnings? Are we going to be obedient to the warnings that God has given us as it pertains to the assignment that he has assigned us to in this now, in this season? What I would like to do on tonight is I would like to give you some scriptures, because I want to give you some scriptures about distraction. I won't go a lot, but take your pen and paper, and you may just want to write down some of these scriptures. This is not a message to condemn. This is not a message to, this is not a beat up message. This is a message of encouragement. This is a message of I don't want to say warning, but caution. Know when you're being distracted. Know the people, places, and things that's in your life that may be causing a distraction, that may be causing you to get off path. You are on kingdom assignment, and the kingdom needs you to complete your assignment. It needs us, me, you, to complete our assignment. Amen. So being distracted from God, by the world, Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So it's saying we can't conform to the world. You know, everybody ran out and brought tickets to go see Beyonce and Jay-Z. I'm not judging, I'm not knocking, but what pushed you to go see that concert? You know, what pushed you as a believer to go see that concert? Was it the world? Because the world says these people are famous, these people are popular, these people, or was it your Holy Spirit? Some people may have felt the Holy Spirit told them to go watch it. I don't know, not judging. But I'm saying, why do we do what we do? Are we conforming to, because the world does it? You know, our kids often come and tell us things like that. Our kids, I don't know about you, but my child will say, you know, well, such and such parents don't, you know, care that they do this, or such and such parents let them do this. And we often say, well, I'm not such and such parents. Well, so my question is to us, we'll tell our kids that, but what are we telling ourselves? Because the world do it, it's okay for us to do it? Are we conforming according to Romans 12:2? And then 1 John 2:15 tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So he's telling us, don't get distracted by the world. It's okay to want nice things. It's okay. It's nothing wrong that you want a 2018 Jaguar. I want a 2018 Jaguar, but it can't be my distraction. I can't desire it so much that it becomes a focal point of distraction for me, that I'm so busy trying to achieve receiving that I'm not doing the will of the Father, that I'm not doing what God's called me to do. What is my purpose? What is my reason for wanting this car? Is it just for vanity? You know, is it just for show? Will me receiving this car cause me to maybe not even begin to do ministry? Why? Because I got to work extra hours to pay for the car note. You see what I'm saying? We'll get so caught up in the thing, trying to keep up with the world and try to keep up with the Joneses, and we'll pray to God. Don't make no mistake. We'll claim it and name it. I'm naming it and I'm claiming it. I want this. And we'll start claiming and naming, and we asking God for houses and cars and boats and vacations and all this stuff. We naming and claiming, and we get this stuff. And then the very God that we was naming and claiming with is the very God that we begin to neglect and put on the back burner. Why? Because if I'm working 14 hours a day and 16 hours a day so that I could pay for that vacation, so that I could pay for that house, so that I could pay for that car, now I come home, I'm tired. I haven't spent no time with my family because I'm working 16 hours a day, sometimes 6 days a week. So I'm not spending time with my family. I come home, I'm tired, I go to sleep. Heaven forbid I get up 15 minutes early because, to have my prayer time. Why? Because I'm exhausted and I'm tired. So now I'm not getting up out of my prayer time. I'm not spending time with my family. My kids and my spouse are affected. What the world has. We want the houses and the cars. And not that it's not nothing wrong with that. But what is it costing you? What are you willing to sacrifice to get what you want? What are you willing to sacrifice to get what you want? Are you willing to sacrifice your assignment, your kingdom assignment? Are you willing to sacrifice your time with God? Are you willing to sacrifice your power, Samson, for the Delilahs of the world? Would you rather have your strength, the strength of, or the anointing of the Holy Spirit that resides inside of you because you're feeding it, you're nurturing it through the word, through worship, through prayer, through praise? Or would you be rather have the things of the world that's costing you your peace of mind, your health, your family? Women, I'm talking to you. Men, I'm talking to you. What's going on in your household? There's discord. You and your spouse not getting along. Why? Now there's distraction. What's the distraction? Because maybe the attention that your spouse should be getting from you, but because you're working extra hours trying to provide, so you say provide, now you're working extra hours, that spouse is not getting that attention no more. And if they're not careful and they don't have a vertical relationship, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go seek the attention somewhere else. What are you willing to sacrifice for the distraction? Because there is a sacrifice. There's a price that people pay when they get caught up in distractions. Amen? We must stay focused on Christ. Hebrews 12:2 tell us, fixing our attention on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, author and finisher of our faith, who in view of the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding his shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We got to keep our attention and our focus on the assignment. Stay with our eyes stayed on Jesus so that we can stay connected to our kingdom assignment. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. What are we setting our affections on? Are we getting so distracted with believing for a mate that we're losing focus on what God has for us? What are we willing to sacrifice for the distraction? Proverbs 4:25 says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. There are so many scriptures in the Word of God that tells us about distractions and the danger of distractions. We've seen the danger with Samson. A New Testament distraction was Peter. Peter had faith. He got out the boat. He began to walk, and he got distracted. He took his eyes off his assignment. And that by him taking his eyes off his assignment, we know the story of Peter. He began to sink. He was lucky because his assignment was right in front of him. So he didn't drown because his assignment was able the grace of God, he didn't drown. But how many of us have drowned or are drowning because we've taken our eyes off of our assignment. Matthew 14:28-31, and this is regarding Peter, answered him, Lord, if it's you, order me to come out. So, you know, he said, oh, Lord, we pray. We ask, Lord, Lord, give me, Lord, what is your will for my life? Lord, what is the assignment you have for my life? And we'll pray and we'll ask this. And then God begins to reveal the vision and the dreams, the assignment. And we start off strong, running. Woo, I'm excited. And we're telling everybody, God told me to do this, and I'm getting ready to do this. And we get excited, and we do what we need to do, and then somewhere we get distracted. A distraction could be something as simple as you sharing your vision that God gave you between you and God, and you decide to share it outside of you and God. And a distraction could be something as simple as somebody telling you, man, you know you can't do that. How you going to do that? You don't have no money to start that business, but you know what God told you. But because these other words of negativity were spoken, you've now allowed them to enter into you. Whatever you give your attention to, that spirit will come and live inside of you. So the spirit, because that person spoke those negative words, now the spirit of doubt and fear has entered in you. You can't even do. Now you're paralyzed to do what God's called you to do because you got distraction. Martha, she was distracted. Mary was focused. Mary was focused on the kingdom assignment. She was focused. But Martha was distracted. Martha was distracted with what was going on and what people weren't doing and how much she was doing more than what somebody else wasn't doing. And so she was missing opportunity. What opportunity? She was missing the opportunity to sit before her assignment. She was missing the opportunity to receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what her assignment was to be. She wasn't focused. She had lost focus. Sometimes we must stop everything and go into a quiet place. Tonight, some of you listening in, that may be your assignment tonight, is to get into a quiet place. Cut off the TV, cut off all the shows. Go into your quiet place if that's your closet, if that's outside on your back porch, on your patio. If it's in your room, close the door and get into a quiet place and cry before the Lord. Repent. Get back on track. Ask the Lord to give you a fresh anointing, a fresh vision of the assignment that he has for you. And just get back on track. That's all we have to do is get back on track. Don't start feeling guilty and get condemned and run away. And now you got to die for your assignment to be completed. Get back on track, repent, and move forward. It's called realignment. When our tires, without tires, the car don't move. The tires are essential in the car getting us where we need to go. I mean, there's other things too, but you can have gas in the car, but if you don't have tires, you ain't going nowhere. And so the tires, when our tires start getting bumpety and zigzaggy, they say your alignment is off. So you have to go get a wheel alignment, rotation and alignment. Same thing. You need to go get an alignment. You need to get realigned vertically with God so that you could get back on track and that you could continue in the steps that he's ordered for you for your kingdom assignment. And that's just that simple, amen? It is just that simple. We need to prioritize our time. There must be. Oh, I'm guilty of this. There must be time for daily prayer. And I pray every day. I pray every day. But I pray throughout the day, all day. But finding that time, set aside, no distraction, where it's just you and God. That right there is a must, because you cannot, and they call it set aside for prayer, but I say there's got to be a time for worship too, because prayer is us talking to God. We're talking to God, and worship is God talking to us. And a lot of times we've been praying for stuff, and we say we ain't got an answer. We ain't heard the answer. I don't know why God ain't answered it. Maybe he don't want it for me. And he said, no, you just won't be still long enough to let me tell you the answer. You're too busy praying. You're too busy talking, and you're not listening to me. So we got to find that quiet time to get to ourselves, sit back, and allow God to minister to us. Amen. Well, we're coming towards the end of the show on tonight, the show about distractions, and hopefully it has blessed someone on tonight, the story of Samson, and seeing how, and taking that, the story of Samson, and then applying it in your life, and see what the Delilahs are in your life. See what areas you're giving too much attention to that's causing you to be distracted, to get off course of doing what you know you should be doing and what you're supposed to be doing. Find out what those distractions are. Use the rest of the evening. I'm fixing to close down. You got 10 minutes left. Use the rest of the evening to identify those distractions so that you can begin to get back in alignment and begin to fulfill your kingdom assignment. Father God, we thank you for your word that went forth on tonight. Lord, we thank you that there is power in your word, a rhema word. Lord, I pray that each person got a perception on tonight, that they didn't just hear letters, Father, but that they got a perception of what you were speaking on tonight as it pertains to the Delilahs in our lives. Father God, help us to identify them. Give us spiritual insight to identify the Delilahs in our lives, Father, so that we can move forward in kingdom assignment and excellence, Father, not looking to the left or the right, but keeping our eyes focused on you, Father, so that we can fulfill the purpose that you have created us for. I thank you for each and every individual that was listening on tonight, Father God, and I pray that you will bless their life exceedingly, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to thank you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. We pray that you will continue to tune in every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We also invite you to tune in on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to Woman to Woman. This October, starting next week, we have a dynamic show. Everyone knows that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we will be honoring that month and bringing awareness to domestic violence. We have a special guest that will be in the studio, and she will be helping to co-host Woman to Woman for the month of October, and we have guests every single week for the month of October, and so we are excited. We have guests that have been through it, and they're willing to share their testimonies and how they managed to escape out of that domestic violence. So again, feel free to join us this Wednesday. It's Woman to Woman, but men are more than welcome to join us and tune in. There are men that are being abused as well. It's not just women. So this show is for anybody and everybody that would like to listen, and it's going to be the whole month of October on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then on Tuesdays, the second and fourth Tuesdays every month, we have Cheek to Cheek with Minister Tamika De La Cruz. Tamika, if you know this story, she lost her daughter last November to gun violence, and the Lord has led her to start a support group. So Cheek to Cheek is a support group that helps loved ones cope with the loss or help families cope with the loss of their loved ones. Again, that's the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. We thank you again for your continual support. Know that you are loved and appreciated.